So David has worked as a community organizer and trainer in the Gamaliel Foundation since 1997, 5 years as the lead organizer of Milwaukee Inner City Congregations Allied for Hope, and for the past 10 years as the director of the statewide Wisdom Network of Congregation-Based Community Organizations in Wisdom, in Wisconsin, excuse me. And David is going to present on an HIA that he's been working on, and welcome, David.
Thank you. Okay, as Lily said, I'm a community organizer by trade, so this is actually a whole different environment for me than I'm used to. So somebody said, do you have any relationships to disclose? I said, what kind of thing is this? But anyhow, apparently none that are important for here. The campaign that we're involved in, the organization that I work with, is it's mostly congregations, 17 different religions, people all around our state. The campaign that we're working on, we're calling 11 by 15. And it's a challenge to our state to cut our prison population in half by the year 2015. So we got about 22,000 people in prison. Now we think we should have about 11,000 people in prison. It's kind of an audacious goal. It's a huge goal, but one that you'll see in a second. We think there's all kinds of good reasons to believe that it's really achievable. It's something we've been working on in various ways within my organization for at least 10 years, in local things, in local initiatives, and in some state things. So the context, 22,000 people in our prisons. There were about... Actually, the 11,000 goal is how many people we had in prison in 1995, which you'll see in a second. This is everybody. 45% of the imprisoned are African-American, while only 6% of our population is African-American. This isn't unusual around the country, though we're one of the worst. And as many as 85% of people in prison have substance abuse issues. Many have mental health issues. A huge thing for us in terms of wanting to work on this as the health impact assessment is to say in Wisconsin and around the country, we're taking health issues and trying to treat them with criminal justice solutions. We're taking people who are ill, people who are mentally ill, people who have substance abuse issues, and we're treating it as though somehow we could punish that out of them. And as you look at it more in depth, it's about like, you know, the remedy for somebody breaking their leg is make them run some laps. You know, it's the wrong solution to the wrong issue. And you'll see recidivism rates are really high. And on the other hand, there are alternative programs and they really work. The problem is we're spending $1.3 billion a year in our state on prisons, which in Wisconsin is a lot of money. And we spend under $1 million of state money for alternatives to incarceration, for the kinds of programs that can help people to stay out. As I said, we're not alone. I'm sure your state's numbers look similar to this, or probably look similar to this. This is how many people we've had in prison, in our state and federal prisons, going back to 1925. And you can see right there, about 1995, when ours doubled, everybody else's. This is kind of, it coincides with the war on drugs. It coincides with our general kind of hysteria about fear of crime in our country. But it's huge. Just quick bit of context. The United States, we have about 6% of the world's population. We have 25% of the world's incarcerated population. Within the United States, there's huge disparities from one state to the other. This is something our legislators hate when we show up in their offices with. So we do, all the time. This is our population compared to Minnesota's population. If you've ever been to Wisconsin and Minnesota, you wouldn't know which one you're in. They look just the same. They got about the same demographics. They got about the same population and everything. But look at the prison population. When we had 22,000, they had 9,000. Because they have a community corrections model of how they do criminal justice. By the way, if Minnesota was in Western Europe, Minnesota would be the outlier of having so many incarcerated people. It's only in the United States does Minnesota look good on this chart. That's how out of whack we are. So, what's the health impact assessment about? Very simply, it's to ask the question, what if the state of Wisconsin, instead of spending $1 million a year to fund alternatives to incarceration, spent $75 million a year on the very programs that even already exist, that we know how they work, we know what to do. So we took this, and luckily the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation is helping us out with some of the costs of this, and we partnered with Human Impact Partners to do this study, and a whole bunch of local partners as well, the kind of the smart people from community advocates and the university, some other organizations that have an interest. The bottom two groups, Voices Beyond Bars and Table of the Saints, are both organizations of formerly incarcerated people who've been extremely helpful. So we looked at what we needed to do, at what the scope was going to be. How would increasing the funding to $75 million impact recovery, you know, helping people actually deal with their mental health issues and substance abuse issues? How would it impact crime and safety? How would it impact families? How would it impact community? What we used, again, there's a lot of information out there, but not necessarily all in the same place. There was a lot of information scattered around. We had a lot of experience from some of the pilot efforts going on, and we did some focus groups. Here's what the findings have been. If we had that money, we could go from having 450 people in alternative programs and problem-solving courts to 18,000. Here's one we like. There'd be 3,000 fewer prison admissions per year in the state of Wisconsin. That starts to knock down that number really fast. 22% reduction in new crimes committed by the population, by those 18,000 people. That's actually huge. I don't even actually care that it's a big number. The fact that it's any number. What's startling to people is the health impact assessment can show you that, in fact, by locking up fewer people, we'd actually be safer. We'd actually have lower crime, not higher crime. It's very counterintuitive. People figure that at least we're safer because these people are in prison. Not true. Less injuries, fatality, less drug overdoses. On pretty much every measure, there would be advantage health-wise. A quote from one of our focus group members. You know, a lot of it is really common sense when you get down to it. You know, I love you. We get letters from people like this in prison all the time saying, you know, I don't really have a drug problem when I'm here. It's when I'm out that I have the problem. You know, this isn't, you know, what I need is help out there figuring out how I can do it. And that's what things like drug treatment courts, mental health courts, these kind of alternative programs, and there's a ton of them, which we don't have time to talk about what they all are, but there's a lot of alternative programs that the goal is to work with people in the community while they're working, while they're still connected to their social networks, that can actually help them to deal with the issues that they have. Some more HIA findings. A lot about parents, a lot about family breakup. Now, again, these aren't exactly, you know, people aren't in jail and prison for no reason at all. These are some folks who generally have some issues. And they have some issues that they got to work through. But we would have less families completely broken. There's at least a chance for people to help to support their family. The really good programs actually are family programs because a lot of these problems are generational. And just taking the parent out of the home actually makes it more certain that it's going to be generational. You send the parent to prison, the chance of their child going to prison goes way up. If, in fact, we intervene with these things, those chances go down. So you can see a lot of the other things that there's huge issues with children and family members. There's huge issues of communities. In Milwaukee, we've got whole zip codes that are just missing a whole lot of folks, and there's all this dysfunction. Those are some of the things that could be addressed by keeping people in the community, by keeping people in a setting where we're actually trying to make them better, not just beat them over the head because we're mad at them. Okay? This is a fairly typical thing. I mean, I probably get 50 letters a week in my office at this point from prisoners and from former prisoners. This is a very typical kind of thing. You know, people 20, 30, 40 years, they're in, they're out, they're in, they're out, and they never had the kind of intervention that could help them to actually turn their life around. If we put the investment in that, the assessment shows we could get there. So again, these are the main authors. That's how you can get in touch with me. The PrayForJusticeInWisconsin.org website, we've been trying to gather up a lot of this stuff. The health impact assessment itself is going to be published on the 29th of November, so a month from today. We'll put that up on the on the website. It's actually getting very, it's very exciting. I kind of keep wanting to jump the gun and start showing it to people, but I'm not allowed. So I'd be more than happy to answer other questions about it, but we've really found this to be a tremendous tool for organizing. It's a chance to help people to see things through another lens.
So David came in under time, if you can believe that.
Here.
Yeah, that was awesome. So does anyone have? I will let him take one clarifying question. A clarifying question.
Can you clarify?
Go ahead. Boy, you sound like a state senator. No. As a matter of fact, because our current prison system is underfunded for the number of people they have. Eventually, yes. We really need our state to say we got to invest $75 million now so we can save several hundred million dollars later. But we can't take it out of the prison system because the prison system, precisely because of health care costs, is way underfunded and is not able to do the job it's supposed to do just because they got so darn many people and so many people who shouldn't be there, like people on respirators and people dying of cancer. And our prison is filled with people with huge mental health and physical health needs that the prison system can't keep up with now. So we actually need to find the money elsewhere in order to seed this program, which then eventually will save us gobs.
Thank you, David.